At any rate, you're like Kasha, you know, how do you learn? There are no halachas on how to learn. How do you learn? How do you learn? How do you learn? Are there any halachas on how you learn? Is there a Rambam that says learn lomdish, learn balabatish, fetch this pshat, fetch that pshat? That's what someone once asked me. So I told him, Talmud Torah presents us with the content of what Talmud Torah is, what Torah is. How you do it, there's no halacha. How you do it is one simple approach. Use your head. When you learn, use your head. All right? Use your head. Well, that's in learning Torah. In the question of marriage and dating, there are simply Torah hashkafas that we have to understand. Now, first and foremost, we have to turn to a fundamental issue here. And this is, of course, once again, where Western society and Torah society are way apart, especially Western society as it stands today. Now, what is the function of marriage according to Western society, as the general consensus? First of all, half of the consensus is that marriage serves no purpose, because Western society today has reached a point where the concept of marriage itself is out. What is left? They have a concept in which a man and woman live together, and I'm not quite sure what they do with that situation. Whether it's a kind of partnership. The truth of the matter is this. If you ask any number of people what the Western concept of marriage is today, you will get a very diffused picture. Because some will operate somehow with a kind of time-honored traditional view of marriage, and others will say, well, it's just a partnership for convenience. And others will say, you don't fucking need it. What do you need it for? As the concept is in a real state of diffusion. I really can't, you know, things have reached such a impasse, you know, like, or pass, that because even the kind of romantic notions, like, it's a situation of Isha Yosef Ein Yaseh, really, in terms of marriage. Like, didn't I tell you that Meister that had this case where a man and woman who were married for something like 20 years, and they apparently in filling out their income tax return, they had to pay an unusual large amount of money. And they calculated that if they weren't married and they both gave in separate returns or something like that, it would be cheaper. So I don't know why they just didn't, you know, hand in separate returns, but apparently if they were not married, they would pay less taxes. So they got divorced. They've been living together, now so they're paying less taxes. You see, so you can say, well, all that means is a rejection of the legalisms of marriage. But basically, in terms of a real personal sense, they really feel married. We have to develop a consensus out of it. What is the consensus? There is something. There is something in terms of a sense of a unity between man and woman in which each one is, in other words, there must be something of the Torah view in it. Otherwise, it's just strictly a partnership, a kind of marriage of convenience situation. There is a sense that man and woman, and this is, of course, coming to the Torah point of view, that man and woman as individuals are incomplete. They're incomplete in psychically, emotionally, character-wise, in every sort of way. And that through marriage, there is hashlamat ha'adam. That's why the Torah refers to man and woman together as vayikra shmam adam, that they are one unit. It's, as the Ramban says, v'davak b'ishtei v'hoyu l'basar echad. A concept of a union of man and woman as one. Because if you don't operate with this idea of strictly a partnership, then it's the sense of anything that is special is lost. All right. Now, so the Torah view is primarily a concept of envisioning man and woman separately as incomplete, and together they are complete. Now, I'm not going to speak of marriage now in terms of children, because children is a, may or may not be a natural consequence of the marriage idea. You can have a, remember we spoke about that Rambam that said, Lifros v'lir bais mimena, as to whether, right. But we do see in Chazal that marriage is a value in and for itself, even if they can't have children, if they're too old, whatever the case may be. Marriage per se is a good in and for itself. A person is not shalom without marriage. Okay. So what I've tried to focus on is this, that Torah has a vision of man and woman as being unified as one unit, whereas Western society has a view ranging from this, they have such a view, all the way down to strictly a partnership of convenience, strictly a kind of casual association, or a total rejection of any notion of union at all. All right? So notice, that's why I say the Western society view is essentially a diffused, a kind of spectrum view of everything from the Jewish idea down to nothing, down to just a casual relationship. All right. Now, this being the case, I have to add one more thing. Shimshon Raphael Hirsch always emphasizes this. I'm putting it in the form of a problem. Why has Western society lost this concept? Why has Western society lost this concept? Because, you see, within the concept of this union, there can be clash. There can be a lot of clash. In other words, it's more than a partnership. It's mamish chibur, baal ki isha kabbalah. To have people live together as one is very difficult. Who wants it? It basically defies what? Defies concepts of freedom. The freedom of the individual is being hamstrung by this process. All right? So, Mimele, if you have a completely unrestricted concept of freedom, marriage really is a steerer to the concept of freedom. Freedom, total freedom itself is no good. You can turn into a chayit. So, because of this steerer, this paradox in Western society, so that's why they ended up with a spectrum of views. Different ones. They know that there is a value in marriage. The natural attraction between man and woman is powerful, and the compensations and the complementary functions are clear. No one denies them. But then there's the restriction on freedom. I read an article in the Times the other day, a description of how men and women live together. They live together for weekends. The wife goes flying out to where? She teaches in Columbia, and this one flies out there, and this episode. They're caught betwixt and between. Are they one or are they free? So what's their pshara? They're both. It's a little of each. This is, I think, a well-defined analysis of the dilemma of Western society. But the Torah point of view defines freedom differently, you see. You know, ain't other ben charin el misha isik b'Torah. The concept of ben charin in the Torah's view is to lead a natural life. And the Torah's view of a natural life is a fulfillment of the vision. In other words, the way man was created and the vision that was intended for man, that is being free. In other words, for example, to be a spiritual individual. So from the Torah point of view, this is freedom. This is freedom because this is what man was created and meant to be. Okay? So, Mimela, since man and woman were created to be one, going back to what I like to refer to as a Torah anthropology, since they were created to be one, right? So, therefore, this does not represent any hamstringing of their freedom. This is the freedom. This is the way to live. Anything else is a distortion of nature. Anything else is a distortion of creation. Okay. Now, So that's in terms of the basic concept of marriage. I'd like to make short presentations so that you have time to, you know, that we have give and take. Now, this being the ideal, it's as follows. Now, we come to dating and the process in getting married. Since the basic idea is one in which what? The union idea. So immediately the idea of dating, the dating, so to say, to have the good time, is basically a product of Western society. Because Western society operates with what? Freedom, the idea of complete freedom, right? Filling, satisfying one's passions and drives, right? So it's very simple. You date the shame dating. You know why? Very partial. Because marriage, that's for when I'm 30, when I'm 40, when I'm 50, you know, or never, you know. Because it affects one's freedom. But women are there. They satisfy passions and pleasures. So you date the shame dating and whatever dating may imply. This is clearly inimical to the Jewish view, to the Jewish attitude. I can't say that if you date a girl of shame dating, you're over on a specific Easter. But if you date a girl stam the shame dating, it is simply not in the context of the spirit of the Torah. In other words, the vision of woman was not to be a person from whom you derived benefit. In fact, I always maintain as follows. People accuse Judaism of denigrating the woman. I maintain Western society has denigrated the woman. Because Fakel, if the Jewish view is that man's association with woman is in the relationship of marriage, so it's the idea of creating a union, being one, being together to serve and aim for common ideals, what greater evaluation and praise does one member of the sex have for another? Couldn't be greater. On the other hand, what does Western society do? Western society has a vision of woman as one from whom one derives satisfaction and pleasure. In other words, she becomes an article. She becomes an article, and that is what has happened in all Western society. Advertising everything, the exploitation of sex is essentially just that. So in other words, that is the real denigration of woman, not really raising her to her proper position. So Mamela, I'm not discussing now halachic violations that may be involved in dating. I'm just saying in spirit. When a person goes out, should go out al menas in terms of getting married. Okay? So in other words, dating l'shem dating is simply, in other words, against the spirit of the Torah. Simply against the spirit of the Torah. Although I can't say that there's a particular Easter that you're being over. So why does one date? So you say, Ichveis, have a shidduch. Have a shidduch, never meet the woman, and that's period. But that is also against the Torah view. And the truth of the matter is, shidduchim that are done without an opportunity for the man to meet the woman, I know it's done in many circles, but it's clearly a distortion, and it was a product of certain difficult historical situations where, you know, it was difficult to accomplish marriages. It's basically a type of distortion. Now, I'm not saying that this means that the mother and father of both bride and groom have to be totally disengaged. It doesn't mean that. But yeah, I personally think that parents should be involved. That parents should, in a, you know, auxiliary fashion, aid and promote the meeting of boys and girls whenever possible. I'm not saying that if it's not possible, one shouldn't go out on dates. But I say that parents serve a good purpose, as long as parents are good parents. Of course, sometimes parents overextend themselves and they can ruin their children too. That's why, unfortunately, sometimes operating without one's parents is better than operating with one's parents. One has to hope that the parents, though, you know, don't have any axes to grind. This is a serious problem, because some parents say, well, I want my daughter to marry a doctor, so I'll only make sure. So it's a choice between her marrying I'll make the contrast more clear. Somebody works for the sanitation department, then a doctor. It happens to be that this particular girl would get along with this fellow who works for the sanitation very well. And she is not really cut out. She is not really cut out for this famous surgeon, you know. She's not cut out for it.
So as one Rav once told a woman who was having marital problems, and she's married to a big guy, and et cetera, et cetera. And she was saying to this Rav, look, he's so this and this and this, he's so great and great. I said, he can be very great, but he's not great for you. You know? So if parents aren't aware of this, and they start letting their own self-interest in this, then it's terrible. And Eino Chinami, that's happened too often. So in a sense, the value of parents can sometimes becomes a questionable matter. And I would say that if parents feel that, you know, parents should know best sometimes when to stay out of it, when not. At any rate, so the, as I say, for a man and for boy and girl, man and woman, not to meet each other and get to know each other to a certain extent, see whether they really like each other, is really a distortion. The Rambam says, it's a mitzvah for a man to meet the woman and to find out whether he likes her and whether she likes him. The Rambam only said once, Liraisa depends. He may have to see her 20 times, 18 times, 10 times, 2 times. It's immaterial. But the question is, how long it takes, it's like Chveis, how long it takes to learn a Black Gemara. Some people can do it in 2 minutes, some people can take 10 hours. That's a particular kind of experience. Whatever the experience is, it is. So Memele, in dating, one should date only for the tachlis of marriage, but one should date. Now, of course, in dating, what kind of girl does one look for? What kind of girl does one look for in the process? Well, it's quite clear from the Mice, of course, with Yitzchak and Rivka, you can see, primarily, what a person has to look for in a woman, primarily, and this is, I think, common to all. There are, of course, certain personal feelings that an individual may have. That's up to the individual. But if we're discussing a particular thing that, or particular things that are crucial, I remember the Ramban in Chumash listing several of them. First, a good person. First and foremost, a good person. A person who has a sense of hatova. A person who is a giving kind of person. You know why? Because if she's to play the proper role in marriage as a wife, as an Ezer Kenegdo, then she has to have that sense. If she doesn't have the sense of Hatova in her, she'll not make a good wife. She'll not make a good wife. There will be clash. There will be clash. Of course, it depends on how not Tova she is or how Tova she is. That depends. But the critical objective thing is Anisha Teva, number one. Number two, I don't remember already which order, but that was primary. This is, say, pretty. A pretty woman. This already does not operate by objective standards. This operates by the individual standards, like Chazal say, Anisha Ela Liyefi. The woman a man marries should be pretty to him, unless the man is a malach. Now, some man says, who marries so lishma, like it's so lishma, that he's not interested. Well, that is for Yechidei Skula, really. For Yechidei Skula. There are some such people. But for most people, the Inyan of Mara is very important. Why? Because when you live with a person for your life, you have to feel a sense of attraction. You have to have a sense of attraction to the person. If the person is not pretty, good-looking to you, then you can't live together. You can't be one. The looks are not stam l'shem looks. The looks are to create the sense of attraction and unity that is necessary in a marriage. Like Chazal bring down a maisa, says, a man was saying about his wife, when we were in love, we could have slept together on the edge of a sword. When our sort of our love diminished, the largest bed could not contain us. You see, because simply there has to be that sense of unity. So that's point number two. Point number three, she has to be a bala seichel. And I don't mean intellectual. I don't mean college graduate, MA, PhD, etc. It has nothing to do with it. They can be the biggest fools. It's a question of a person having seichel. You want to call it common sense, call it seichel. Personal bala seichel, with good, solid, substantial common sense. Because the domain in which a woman basically operates in terms of the home, relationship to her family, her house, her husband, the Iker mode of functioning is determined by common sense. You have to have seichel. And if a person's stupid, as intellectual as he may be and as mechanically gifted as he may be or what have you, you simply cannot. That's point number three. I, for example, bizman hazeh, will add another factor. Bizman hazeh, lemarshal, if a person wants to learn, or if a person feels that he will not be ready to support his wife for, let's say, 5 or 10 years, or who knows, or maybe forever. You see, as is unfortunately common in today's society. I mean, almost all families are turning to, everybody has to work, to find a woman who is very competent, has professional competence. And because simply she may be necessary to assist in supporting the family. I'm not saying that this is the desirable. Personally, I don't think it's the desirable. If the woman wants to work, that's something else. But it's certainly not the desirable goal. So if that is possible to find, certainly, that would be an extra added benefit, especially if somebody wants to sit and learn for a few years. That's really very important. Let's see, is there something else? There may be another item, but I think these would be the critical items. All right, I'm going to stop here. If we find that this has been inadequate, I'll just carry it over for one more discussion and, fill in a little more. But I'd like to leave about 15 minutes for discussion. Anybody want to? Golden Hirsch, for you it's too late. What? Yeah, you did well. Your problems are over. Terrific. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, what would you like?
One problem that sometimes finds as far as family is concerned, what is basically more important, the person himself or the kind of family you come from? Because very often the yeshiva guys...
All right, tell you yourselves. I understand the problem. You're dealing with a very specific problem that exists, bizman hazeh. You know, you have the standard problem. The girl's great, the family's for the birds. No. That's not a shame. Oh, yeah, but I mean, it's the same problem. It's a problem of the family. I would say as follows. If I am confronted with an equivalent situation, such as I am told, we'll introduce you to two young ladies. One, both very fine. One who has a not a very attractive family. The other one a very attractive family. You'd be pretty stupid if you made the wrong decision there. Then you choose the one with a nice family. You're not mechuyev to go take care of that girl. You're mechuyev to take care of yourself. You say. Getting married is not an act of beneficence or an act of magnanimity where you go and seek to convert people and save people's lives. You can do that once you're married. You say. So you do that. But if either you don't see anyone else, so then you'll ask the kasha, wait 10 years or wait another year or two. Well, you can wait a month or two maybe. But just to sit and wait and just not marry the girl because of her family, no. Should marry that girl. Or the mushel. If you've already been introduced to the girl and you've gone out with her several times, I don't think you should break a shidduch for that reason either. See, there already, it's reaching, there's a certain immorality in it. I don't know how to define it precisely. There's a certain immorality in it. Because in the final analysis, your marriage should be, defined by your relationship with the woman, except for one thing. Now, one of the big problems in life that we don't like to talk about is genetics, you see. The big problem is this. If we say the family's just you're not particularly attracted to them, that's one thing. That's really minor. So, all right, so you live with them. The problem is, what if there are problems in the family, for example? What if there are psychotics in the family? People disturb people in the family. What if you have other such problems? weak-minded people in the family. This girl happens to be very bright, but let's say there are weak-minded people in the family. You know, we have, that's a deadly serious problem. There you can, there is no etzah you can give there. I can't give any etzah. There you have to speak to your own conscience. I can't give you, because it is clearly a calculated risk in such situations. I can't give any etzahs there. There is no one derech to take. Other yeah, other name. It's your feeling. It's your chush. Knows where the family represents a severe kind of problem. All right? If the problem, the marshal, the girl's frum and the parents aren't frum and they're militantly anti-frum, that's a common problem. I don't think that should stop one. I think under those circumstances, you just get married with the understanding that unless the parents come around, you just see them once a year. You know what I mean? In other words, if the parents are troublemakers, you just see them, once in a yovel. You know what I mean? If I count, they're interested and so forth, that's a different story. If I count, then you have an additional job on your hands, but you should take it. Have I answered your question, or?
You answered from one point of view, but when a guy goes out to look for a girl, and she comes from a very good family, and then she's a very nice girl, then the parents will start thinking about your background.
So all you're doing is reversing it. Make believe I'm speaking to a group at Stearns College, and they're telling me that problem. Right, I am. So what are you asking me? For an etzah? Or how does the fella cope with a situation where the girl is being pulled betwixt and between? She's attracted to the fella, but the parents are brainwashing her. How do you cope with it? What can you do? what can you do? Call up Rabbi Parnas to call up the parents. what do you want me to do? You're asking me why the people are that way. I don't blame the people. I want to tell you something. Let's look at it from the vantage point of view of the parents. The parents are doing what I'm saying. Listen, we have a very fine daughter. She's brilliant. She's charming. She's beautiful. She could get anyone on the face of this globe. Let's say it's only half the truth. Okay? Fine. So she happened to meet a fellow by the name of Reich or someone else. And this Reich, ich weiß, this, that. So they go, look, he's a very nice guy. What do you need? He's a very nice guy, but he's going to bring in a peckle of problems. What do you need it for? I don't blame the parents. I frankly don't blame the parents. What then happens is it becomes a matter of conscience for the girl. It's a matter of conscience for the girl. Because the truth of the matter is these are considerations. You cannot so romanticize things as to say that these are not considerations. When you get married, you have in terms of interrelationships with families, it's very important. It's very important. It cannot be just pushed aside. So the chatchila, if you've only got out with a boy once or twice and so forth, why I might discourage my daughter. I'm not going to let my daughter go out unless I. That's the purpose of not letting one's daughter go out with anyone unless you introduce her to someone. So at least the parents have checked. You see, but Reich, they didn't check on you. You got problems. There's no solution. That's a human dilemma. That cannot be resolved. There's certain things that can't be resolved. You would do the same thing. I hate to tell you this. I know people who came from, let's say, certain kind of backgrounds that were not that attractive, let's say. And they wanted to marry into a good family, and they did, and they succeeded after a long fight, blah, 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 right? 20 years later, their daughter, you see, wanted to do the same thing, and they said, so they tell the guy, dude, what about you? I was different. That's all. There wasn't anything else. Main Brera. That's why I say, Main Brera, they'll take you too, Yeah. You have to deal with each one. The mashal, marrying the daughter of an Amoritz. The mice is this. You see, they once asked Rav Kamenetsky about these problems. He said as follows: when the Gemara, the mashal says, If you give your daughter over to an Amoritz Lamoshal, it's like you're giving your daughter over to an Ari. Well, which is true, in a sense. You know, an Amoritz doesn't know how to behave, and that's it. Well, the Mashal, if the father is not the right kind of father. All this is true mainly in societies that were closed. You see, in the main, where the societies were closed and people lived together. So that if you marry, let's say, and there are very strong family associations, the Mashal, the Ramban HaChumash says that when they divided the Nachla, the families, the Shvatim, the families lived near one another. They lived together. So if you have, let's say, two families that are not of the same stripe, you see, there will be clash. It's a terrible marriage. But that's the mile in a sense today of living in an open society. Everybody lives apart. No one lives with families. Families are generally considered to be the biggest nuisance in one's family, in one's social experience. Oh, my family. I got to worry about my family. All right, so what does family do? They come for a chasna, for a levaya, for this, for that. But basically, family is not part of our social experience, really. Except in certain families, they're very closely knit families. It's different. But in general, everybody is Isha Yosha Bein of Yasa. So that's why I say those Azharas in the Gemara, the general line of those kinds of Azharas, are not really applicable, as Mana said. This, by the way, is not my Chidush. I heard of B'Shem Rav Kamenetsky that said this. Like the question of checking on the sisters and the woman's brother. And by the way, there's a lot of truth in terms of character and this and that. There's a lot of truth in it. All right, so you want to take the risks, you take the risks. You know, that's it. I once had a conversation with my wife. And said, hey, you know, not one of our sons is a genius. You know? So I just sort of said, and you know why? Why should they be? You know, no one in my family is, and no one in your family is, so why should anyone be a genius? You know, like, the tendency is for people to want to... Now, if you expect, Lamushal, if you have certain expectations in terms of children, Lamushal, you want your children to be brilliant, right? Well, then I give you a strong yetzer. Marry a girl from a very bright family. Because the Gemara says... because the probabilities of the child being a bright child are much greater if they come from a bright family. That's a fact. So in other words, if you're speaking in terms of concern for children, and that's a very important concern, and you want certain things, then you should look at the family. I'll discuss that separately. It's a very special problem, and it's a very delicate problem. Yeah, what is it?
Can you elaborate a bit again on moving without the spirit of service to go on the topic? And also, what about the idea of moving in mixed college groups without college money?
Well, why are you moving in mixed college groups?
Wait.
You mean to socialize with girls?
No, to socialize as a group. Existing as well.
But you want to socialize with the girls. Let's cut the fat away from it. I mean, you know, get to the point. What? Now, if the person has an interest... Now, why does he have an interest in socializing with girls? To get the feminine point of view? Yeah? Or not? All right, you know what I know. You know, I will tell you this. The Tarot is as follows. Portion. If a person's conversation and involvements with women outside of the marriage tachlis are for strictly, let's say, strictly intellectual purposes, say you have to find out from this woman or girl certain information, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. If you're interested for what is essentially mild romantic purposes, you see, then that's it. So then you're involved. You mean when I say date, it has to have a chaloshem date where you pick the girl up and take her to the movie or take her on the set on the ferry? A date is essentially involving yourself on a social basis with a woman. That's what it is. All right. But if it's for, you know, very specific needs, ordinary needs, there's absolutely no objection. Meet a woman, this, how are you, how's the family, how's that? I mean, that's absolutely all right. It's once you have the romantic overtones. Once you have romantic overtones already, that's where it is against the spirit of Torah. Let me just, however, add this. And Rogan's going to have my head for saying this. I would say this, however. Big heter, big heter. It basically, it's based on, I saw Rabbeinu Hananel on it. The mice is this. We live in a society where the passions are very strong. People can't get married when they probably should get married for whatever reason, economic, you know, a whole slew of reasons. Passions are very strong. I would say this. If a person has very strong passions and obviously is not in a position to get married, I would say that he would probably be better off dating girls, of course, without any violation of halach in terms of chibuk v'nishuk. He would probably be better off dating girls. I won't say probably, but it may be that certain boys will be better off, both psychically and halachically, if they do date girls or do meet girls socially, as a way of, shall I say, releasing some of the sting. You know, from the... it's against the spirit of the Torah. Torah is this. There's a very interesting Rabbeinu Hananel. I don't remember whether I saw it in Bechares or elsewhere. It says, you know, there's a famous member of Chazal that says, Mishetok for Yitzray, Yelech v'yilbash, yilbash shcherim v'yelech, so it sounds as if the Chazal are being matir averis. So they're different pshatim. I remember Rabbeinu Hananel that says as follows. If a person is in a state of tkifas hayetzer, he is then permitted to involve himself in those things that are not halachically forbidden, but are not in the spirit of the halacha. In other words, they're not dvarim noyim, but because of Kifas Hayetzer that may produce a very unhappy explosion in him, and I say it may be a very unhappy explosion with all sorts of halachic, psychic, mental overtones, he is, in cases, better off involving himself in a mild social relationship with girls. All right? I think that's critical because... when I say a mild social relationship, I mean a relationship that does not involve violation of any Isurim. Which would mean that a date would be all right. Taking a walk or, meeting girls just in general. If the person is in that matzav. Of course, he's beginning to play with fire then. Let's face it, he's beginning to play with fire. But if the person is in the matzav of Kifas Hayetzer, he's in the fire already. So it's a question of one fire versus another fire. The ideal, of course, would be to live in a society where Kifas HaYetzer comes at the latest possible date. You know. But that is not easily done. Yes? Wait, let me ask somebody.
Well, I heard someone saying that when you're going with a girl, which, you know, more or less along the lines of getting married, you know, you're going to get married to her, then the year is permissible.
Well, those Rebbeim don't know what they're talking about. What I would say is this. What I would say is this, that if under those circumstances when you're going with your study, if you want to go engaged, obviously the forces of attraction build up very much. And Mimela then the Natiya to the situation for Chibuk Benishuk is a very apparent one. What I would then say is I would give two approaches under those circumstances. One is, as I once read a Rambam to you from Hilchos Yisir, it would be under no circumstances should that boy and girl be misyached. Because the real problem comes when there's yichud. Don't visit her when the parents are away. Things like that, you know. In other words, if a person wants to avoid the problem, I don't tell him just don't do it, because it's almost eifshur, Venice. The way to do it is through avoiding yichud, number one. Number two is not an etzer. I mean, it's not a solution, but it's an etzer. That if the person does commit the aveir, he shouldn't say it's mutter. That's all. So if the person does, he's a chayter. That's all. No, if you're telling me a person has passion and strong and he commits aveir, I know people commit aveirs. They committed other aveirs too. The important thing is this. Too often when a person commits an aveir, he starts saying it's rationalizing and saying it's mutter. See, that a person, if a person commits the avera, so he commits the avera, so you should know he's committing an avera. That's all. And hope that the Rebbeinu Shlomo will forgive him. I don't know. What can I tell you? Yes?
What about the old question of Shlomo?
What about the old question of Shemayna Esra L'chupin?
How?
The Rambam says as follows. Shemayna Esra L'chupin. And the Gemara Taka says that if a person doesn't get married by 20, Kol Yomav Da'averit. So the Gemara then says, Kol Yomav Da'averit Sal Kedaitech. So the Gemara says, no. But you know what? Kol Yomav Behirhur Avera. The truth of the matter is, if a person doesn't get married, basically when strong urges start developing, undoubtedly, Kol Yomav Behirhur Avera. And that none of us are going to get away from. However, the heter is as follows. The Rambam says that if a person is being Isaac B'Torah or some other mitzvah and so forth, so it's Isaac B'Mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. Not Legamrei, but it can be postponed. Al Pi Halacha, it can be postponed. It's the Rambam. It's based on the Gemara and Yevamos. All righty? Oh. Okay, fine. Let's stop Minchah.